This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody. This is Frank from A History with God Ministries, welcoming you to the Godcast, Making Disciples. That's right, we're talking about making disciples today in this Godcast. I'd like to welcome all of our partners, supporters, subscribers, listeners, and first-time listeners. If you're just tuning in today for the first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm going to start out with Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Okay, so Jesus has resurrected. He's already been crucified. He's been raised from the dead. And he's been, for the last 40 days, appearing to his men, teaching them, training them, okay, getting them ready for his ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit. So in verse 16, this is so cool. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." I don't know about you, but those three words give me great hope. These are the 11 guys who, they've been with Jesus like 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, basically for three and a half years. They've witnessed the crucifixion. They've witnessed the resurrection. He's been popping in and out, you know, appearing, walking through doors, disappearing. They've been watching that sort of thing for 40 days. So Jesus comes to them in Galilee. It says they worshipped him, but some doubted. That means there's hope for you if you struggle with doubt. Now, watch this. Before you became a Christian, how much did you struggle with doubt? You didn't. There was no reason for the devil to tell you, "Oh, you're not really a Christian, you're not really saved," because he would have been telling you the truth. You weren't a Christian. And he's a liar. So it's only after you become a Christian, it's only after you become a believer that you can possibly struggle with doubt, because before then, there was no reason for the enemy to attack you with doubt because you weren't a believer. You know what I mean? Once you become a believer, you become a target for him to come against you with doubt, trying to get you to give up your faith, to convince you that it didn't work for you. So, you know, simply look back and recognize, wait, I didn't used to have these kinds of thoughts. Look, here's how it works. The devil is a liar. So if he's telling you, "Well, you must not be saved," then the opposite of that is the truth. You know, you could let his lies confirm your faith because he didn't tell you those things before you were saved. Make sense? Okay, so they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Okay, watch. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You know, for years, I thought the command of Jesus was go, because that's what he says, right? Go, therefore, and make disciples. I was recently reading Rick Renner's daily devotion, Sparkling Gems, and he was talking about this very thing. The word go, this guy knows more about the Greek language than anyone I've ever heard. So, literally, what this verse says is, "Going, therefore, comma, make disciples." Going is not the command. It's part of the make disciples, which is the command. The command is make disciples. And the idea is, as you go, comma, you're making disciples. As you're going about your normal, everyday lives, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them. So there are three components of this command of make disciples. The three components are going, baptizing, and teaching. Now, when you look at the context of this, Jesus is talking to his 11 apostles. Watch this now. Jesus had all kinds of terminologies available to him to call his inner circle of men. As a Jewish man, he could have called them priests. There was a wonderful tradition of men who were set apart by God, had a specific task. He could have called them high priests or middle priests, you know, priests after the order of Melchizedek. He could have called them prophets. He could have just called them my inner circle. There's all kinds of names, you know, terminology from his background as a Jew to designate these men that were his inner circle. But what did he do? He reached into the Roman world and into Roman culture, and he pulled out this term apostle from Roman culture. The word apostle literally means a sent one, one who is sent. And what I'm telling you is the context that this sent one filled. Now, if you know anything about history, you'll know that the Roman army, and by the way, don't be impressed, I just did some digging. The Roman army was conquering the world. And when they would go into an area and conquer the barbarians there, they would send someone from Rome, a high-ranking military officer, either a general or an admiral, they would send someone from Rome into that conquered area to bring the culture of Rome to these barbarians. They wanted them to adopt Roman dress, they wanted them to learn all about Roman architecture, they wanted them to learn about the language, they wanted them to understand how the Roman government worked, you know, how it operated with the Senate, and all that sort of thing. These generals, these admirals that were sent from Rome were tasked with bringing the culture of Rome to these barbarians. And the idea of it was, if they become Roman, the barbarians, if they become Roman, if they learn to think like us and act like us and become like us, then they're not going to rise up and kill us because they'll be us. Excellent strategy. Well, these generals and these admirals who were sent from Rome to bring the culture of Rome to the barbarians were called apostles. So when Jesus calls his inner circle of men apostles, what he's saying is, you men are sent into these cultures to bring the culture of heaven to earth. Bill Johnson has this great book, When Heaven Invades Earth. It's an excellent, excellent read. Okay, so you're going to help these people think like heaven, govern themselves like heaven, have the values of heaven, bring the power of heaven. Get it? Okay. That was the apostolic mandate. It was to bring the culture of heaven to earth. So because Jesus has a passion for people, he commands the apostles to make disciples of all the nations. So we understand that Jesus loves people and that the apostles are sent to bring the culture of heaven to earth. You with me, right? You follow me? Okay. For years, I thought that it was the apostles' job to make disciples, because it was to the apostles that Jesus gave this great commission, right? But I have changed my thinking, because it's not just apostles who are called to make disciples. All of us who name the name of Jesus Christ are commissioned to make disciples. So if you'll get anything out of this whole Godcast, get that. It's your job, it's my job, to obey the Great Commission and make disciples. Now, let me walk this out a little bit and pack things just a little bit with you, okay? Ephesians 4:11 begins like this. And he, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. Well, if it's the apostles' job to make disciples, then what are they going to equip the saints to do? I'll ask again. If it's the apostles' job, if they've been commissioned, bringing heaven to earth, right, to make disciples, then what are they going to equip the church to do? Make disciples. Make sense? They're going to equip the church to do what they do. Okay, so if you look at the first chapter of the book of Acts, you'll see that Jesus has died, been resurrected, now he's appearing to his guys. All right, he's disappearing, he's walking through walls, and what the mindset of the Jews in Jesus' day was, they were believing that God was going to send a Messiah, who would restore the kingdom to Israel. They were under the yoke of Roman oppression, and they were ruling the world. The Roman army was basically undefeatable, and the Jews were looking for God to send a Messiah who would restore that place of promise to the land of Israel. They remembered King David, King Solomon, the golden age of Israel, and they're expecting that the Messiah is going to restore the kingdom to Israel. So Jesus is appearing, and in the first chapter of the book of Acts, Luke tells the story. The guys come to him and they're like, "Lord, at this time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel, right?" And see, this is what they're thinking. This is amazing. Now our key general has been killed and he's resurrected from the dead. So he can lead the armies of Israel into battle. They can't kill him because he can walk through walls and stuff. They can't kill him so we can fight the armies of Rome. And when they kill us, Jesus will just walk around, lay hands on us, raise us from the dead. We'll jump up, grab our swords, stick them in their backs. This is going to be awesome. I can't. We're going to win. This is going to be great. This is the time, Lord, right? Is this the time? That's what they're thinking. And Jesus is so patient. He doesn't say, "You idiots. You just don't get it. What in the world is the matter with you?" He just says, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." Then he says in verse 8, "Then you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, see, because Jesus was speaking to his apostles when he said that, there are a lot of people in the church body today that believe the power of the Holy Spirit was reserved just for the apostles. The problem is there's a lack of understanding of the whole plan of God in that theology. First of all, I'm backing up a little bit. Jesus chooses 12 of his disciples, his followers, and calls them apostles. And he sends them out two by two. They come back and they're all juiced. They are stoked. They're excited. They're like, "Lord, it was amazing. We were casting out demons. We were healing the sick. We were cleansing the lepers. Blind people could see after we laid hands on them. And this was the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. This was amazing." And Jesus is like, "You know, just come over here and rest a while, guys. You're pretty worked up about this stuff." Here's what Jesus did next. He appoints 70 and sends 70 out. Now there are, well, the original 12 are called the apostles of the Lamb, and they're the only 12 that are designated the apostles of the Lamb. But if the 12 were sent, right, and apostles are sent ones, then the 70 were also sent, wouldn't we logically declare that those 70 who were sent were also apostles? They were sent ones. That's what the word apostle means. So in the New Testament, in the Gospels, there's not just 12 apostles, there's at least 82. I know some of you listening right now thinking, "I've never heard anything like that before." Well, it's there. It's in the word. It may not be exactly in that terminology, but it's there. So in this scripture, "you will receive power" is fulfilled in the second chapter of Acts. It's not just 82 apostles, but there's 120 people that are there in the upper room. And it includes Mary, Jesus' mother, and the other women who were Jesus' supporters. And they all receive the power of the Spirit. So just as making disciples is the job of every believer, not just apostles, the empowerment to make disciples is available to every believer, not just the apostles. All right, so 2 points here. Number one, making disciples is a commission for every believer. And number two, the power of the Holy Spirit to make disciples is available to every believer. All right, so Jesus says in Acts 1:8, he says, "You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I want you to just look at this and analyze this a little bit. Jerusalem is the city where all of this kicked off. It's the city where Jesus was crucified. It's the city where he was resurrected from the dead. It's the place where the Jews were hiding behind closed doors for fear of the Jewish leaders, right? Jesus walks through the door. All that stuff happens in Jerusalem. So that's sort of the birthplace of this whole movement. The culture is the same. People speak the same language. The city of Jerusalem, it's the same culture. This is home base. This is home plate, Jerusalem. Judea is a province that Jerusalem is located in. So same thing, same culture, same language, no problem. Just a little bit of expansion outside the city of Jerusalem into the area of Judea. Jesus did a lot of miracles in Judea. But then you come to the next place, he says, was Samaria. And if you remember, when we did the Godcast, A Confident Hope, Christina and myself, we talked a little bit about the Assyrians. Remember the Assyrians, about hundreds of years before, the Assyrians had gone into Israel and they carried off the 10 northern tribes and they brought pagans from other countries that they had conquered and settled them into the province of Samaria. There were some poor Jewish people that were left to sort of keep things rolling along a little bit until they brought the pagans in. So in Samaria, the people were mixed race people. They were sort of hybrids. They were part Jew, they were part pagan, and their religion had some Jewish roots to it, but it had pagan roots to it, and the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. So now, even though Samaria was nearby, it's not the same culture. It's not the same language, but it is at least a familiar culture. They knew about the Samaritans, and Jesus was calling them to break through into this new culture that's sort of a mix of the Jewish culture and the pagan culture and bring the kingdom of God there, to bring the kingdom of God into Samaria. Then he says, to the ends of the earth. Well, the ends of the earth? And we're talking about places where they don't even speak the same language, where they have strange, unusual customs. You know, where the cultural barriers are significantly higher than even going from Jerusalem to Samaria. But they're commanded, it's prophesied, it's declared, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, it took them a while to get this accomplished. You start reading through the book of Acts, and it's describing stuff that happens right there in Jerusalem until you get to chapter 8. Chapter 7 is the story of Stephen being stoned. Saul of Tarsus holding the coats of the people who are stoning Stephen. It says in verse 1 of chapter 8, Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Does that sound familiar? You'll be my witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria. It says that they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Now, this was really interesting to me when I read this because some people read this and some scholars that I've checked out like Rick Renner and Chuck Missler figure that chapter 8 of Acts is about 15 years after Jesus ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit was poured out. So 15 years have gone by while the apostles have all stayed in Jerusalem and ministered in Jerusalem. Then this great persecution arises, and it says they all scattered except the apostles. They all left except the people who were given the commission to leave. You know, they stayed, the apostles. And I'm sure some people look at that and go, oh, those stupid apostles, what's the matter with them? They should have been gone a long time ago. But we're called to call out the gold. Anyone can find dirt. We're called to call out the gold in people. I believe that the church was scattered and that they had been so equipped by the apostles for those 15 years that when they were scattered, they obeyed the Great Commission and they made disciples everywhere they went. And just so you know, all of the apostles did go to the ends of the earth. I just did a little bit of homework here. I want to give you this. Check this out. This is cool. Peter, according to tradition and Fox's Book of Martyrs, was crucified upside down in Rome in AD 64. So he made it all the way to Rome. That's sort of the ends of the earth from where Jerusalem is. Andrew, Peter's brother, was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece. James, son of Zebedee, remember James and John, the sons of thunder? Peter and Andrew's fishing buddies? James was beheaded in AD 44. He made it all the way to Spain. John, the disciple Jesus loved, the tradition is that they couldn't kill him. They boiled him in oil and he wouldn't die, so they exiled him to the island of Patmos. But it's believed that he eventually was taken from the island of Patmos, where the Book of Revelation was written, and he actually died of natural causes of old age in Ephesus, which is in Turkey. Thomas, Doubting Thomas, was killed by a spear in Chennai, India. That, to me, by the way, is one of the most encouraging ones. Doubting Thomas made it all the way to India. That was in AD 72. Philip was crucified in Turkey in AD 54. Bartholomew was flayed alive. You know what that means, right? They cut his skin off while he was alive and then beheaded him. And that was in Turkey. Matthew was killed by an axe in AD 70. James, the son of Alphaeus, was stoned at age 90 and then clubbed to death. Jude was crucified. Simon the Zealot was crucified in AD 74. And Matthias, Judas Iscariot's replacement, was stoned and beheaded. So all of them did manage to get out of Jerusalem and go to the ends of the earth to preach the gospel in response to Jesus' command. Now, I heard someone say once, I think it was Andrew Womack, I'm not sure, but they said, there is no church growth without people getting saved. I don't even mean the building we call church. Like when someone joins your church building from another church, that's not church growth. That's church swapping. There is no church growth without people getting saved. That's our responsibility and our privilege. The responsibility to make disciples and the privilege of making disciples is not just for some nebulous group of apostles. It's on those of us who are believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the responsibility and the privilege to make disciples. Now, in the past, I've kind of fallen into a big error. When we lived in New York, we had a pastor. His name was Pastor Rocco. He used to say, it's not right that anybody should hear twice until everybody has heard once. Meaning it's not right for anyone to sit under the preaching of the gospel more than once until everybody has heard at least once. It's not right to have a vision for the ends of the earth and forget about your own city and neighborhood. And it's not right for you to have a vision for your city and neighborhood and forget about the ends of the earth. Turn with me real quick. Romans 12, verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's in giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, these gifts that are listed here have been called, they've been called the motivational gifts. And each one of us has each of these gifts to a different level, but some of them more powerfully endowed or put into our lives than others. But here's the thing, each of those gifts are valuable and need to be utilized in the body. And here's what I think we've missed. The purpose of the body is not to serve itself. It's to make disciples, with each of us using our own gifts, in all the nations too. That's what those gifts are for. So what do we do about this? Well, the idea is that each of us need to develop a plan. And I'll tell you, part of that plan is to discern what your gifts even are. That's a future Godcast, okay? That is a future Godcast, helping you discern your gifts. All right, so you discern your gifts. Then you discern how your gift is to be used to make disciples. Then you pray, you discern, with the help of the body, the people you're fellowshipping with, the people you've partnered with. You talk about how your gift is to be used to make disciples. Once we got that figured out, we extend our reach out of the body and into the world, into the city, into the county, into the state, into the nation, and then across cultural barriers to the ends of the earth. On Thursday, May 2nd, 2013, we, as a country, celebrate the National Day of Prayer. And here's what we're going to do. A History with God Ministries has been named the facilitator for this year for Mercer County, New Jersey. Now, for those of you who live in New Jersey or even Pennsylvania or New York, we are inviting you to join us that day at 12 noon in the city of Trenton in the state of New Jersey. We are going to gather on the steps of the State House. After we gather there, we are going to continue to the inner boroughs to pray with and to witness to people in the city of Trenton. We are inviting you guys out for a glorious time in the Lord. Bring your friends, bring your neighbors, and most of all, bring your desire to grow the church. Because, again, there is no church growth without people getting saved. And after they get saved, we can make disciples. Let's do this as a team, as a family. If you can join us, go to our website, ahistorywithgod.com, click on contact, fill out the form, and check the box that you'll be there at 12 noon on the State House steps in Trenton, New Jersey. Look forward to seeing you guys, and we'll talk to you next week. Until that time, stay blessed.
Questions. You have them. Let's open up the mailbag in today's Godcast Q&A.
Hello, and welcome to our favorite part of the Godcast, the Godcast Q&A. Love it.
Yes.
Yes. Let's jump right in. Here we go. For April 7th, welcome.
Wow,
welcome.
It's April already.
March, did March leave like a lamb, or does it leave like a lion? How does it leave?
It leaves like a lamb. It enters like a lion.
I didn't even notice it left, honestly. I missed it.
It was Easter Sunday, actually.
Oh, that's right. Let's jump right into the Q&As.
Okay.
Going to start this off with an iTunes review by Daniel213 entitled Youth Avenue. I saw Jason on the Youth Avenue YouTube link and loved when he said, "What's next for me is more intimacy with the Lord. That should be what's next for all of us." I agree, actually, with that. That's a very good statement.
Yes. Actually, we just had dinner with James and Mary.
From Youth Avenue
from
TV.
Youth Avenue TV on Thursday.
Yes.
And they were a great couple.
They were great.
We had a lot of fun.
A lot in common.
I was just really excited. I think they were excited too. They see like a bit of the future and what's coming to fruition, and it's exciting stuff.
We will be appearing on their show.
Yes.
They will appear on a Godcast.
And they'll be on a Godcast, and check them out on YouTube.
Yeah, you can actually go to our website, click on resources and links, and then click on the Youth Avenue TV link at the bottom of the page.
Okay.
Visit them.
And what if they wanted to go right to YouTube and find them?
I guess they can just go to youtube.com and do a search for Youth Avenue TV.
Okay.
It's just a little easier going through our site for now. Whatever.
Okay. We're excited about partnering up with them.
Yes, we are.
Linking Arms.
Next review is from Akey213.
Well, they're not achy anymore.
They're not achy anymore because it's a testimony.
Amen.
That says, "No smoking, please," is the name of this. I saw the testimony video about Scott, the guy whose back was healed, listening to Christina's podcast, Words, Words, Words. It inspired me so much that I downloaded both parts of it and did what Christina said to do. I've been trying to quit smoking for years and never could. I did what Christina said in the podcast and spoke scriptures of healing over my life, and my desire to smoke disappeared.
Oh, wow.
It's been over 3 weeks now that I've had a cigarette. I don't even crave one.
Amen.
And I haven't been overeating to replace the cigarettes.
Amen.
I feel great. Thank you in caps.
Oh, glory to God.
You
See?
Know,
God
that
is so
cool, man.
He loves that, you, Akey.
You speak that word and it'll work. Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. And you know, there's another video on our website by a woman named Kim. Who, she has a great testimony too. I neglected to mention it last time. Sorry about that, Kim, but I'm mentioning it now.
Yes, and the great news is that she witnessed to her brother.
After dealing with a fear of sharing her faith.
Right, and she witnessed to him and he got saved.
He got saved.
Yay!
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh,
thank you, Lord.
Things. Thank you, Lord.
Good for you, Kim. Oh, by the way, her favorite teacher is Tim, but she really likes when you and I are on together. So,
well, who wouldn't? Of course.
Who wouldn't?
Of course.
Okay. Next one is The Authority of the Believer from November 4th, 2012 by ASAP2134. Tim did a Godcast back on November 4th called Authority of the Believer. I really like the story he told when he was 12 years old wielding a machete, hacking down trees with no supervision. He doesn't do that anymore.
Oh, those were the days when your mom would say, "Go out to play with this machete and don't come back until dinner."
Well, he linked that story to a newborn Christian with his or her newfound authority going after things without the understanding, you know? He says it's cool because Tim even mentions in that podcast that maybe this is just for a couple of people out there. I think I was one of those. So thanks again, Tim. I appreciate your Godcast. By the way, I would like to hear another one with Taylor, his daughter, Tim's daughter. Yeah, Taylor's getting a lot of requests.
I know, and
Tim's trying to make it happen.
We're putting the pressure on.
But him and Alan will definitely do another Godcast with
that
me. The three
another,
of us.
I know people want to hear Alan.
They want to hear Alan. Who doesn't want to hear Alan? Okay, silence. All right, so...
Well, I wanted to say not me, but I didn't want... I wanted it to be a double negative, so it meant, yeah, I want to hear Alan. I was trying to figure it out. So I didn't want to make it sound like I didn't want to
hear. Right, I understand. And Alan understands, I'm sure. Okay, one of your favorites. Yeah. I love when we get one of these. Saved with about 20 exclamation points by Matt791. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. While listening to the interview with David Smithers, my Uncle Danny was visiting. He's my favorite uncle. And he saw me with my earbuds on, and he teased me about listening to music while he was visiting. I told him I wasn't listening to music, that I was listening to A History with God, and I let him hear the interview. He liked the sound of David's accent, and he started listening and got hooked. He listened to the whole second part, and then, bum ba ba ba, repeated the salvation prayer with David at the end. David got my Uncle Danny saved, and I'm so happy because he's my favorite uncle, and I'm ecstatic that we'll be in heaven together. That was a week ago.
Yes.
Since then, he's been downloading all the podcasts from the website.
Yay, Uncle Danny! Welcome to the kingdom.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, I know one of you, actually Sonny656, you had a question for Dave Smithers, and that was, had he seen any other miracles other than raising the little girl from the dead? We are trying to get that answered for you, so we have not forgotten about you, okay? Okay. Can you have Katrina and Jason do a rap song? I really liked Jesus the Creator. Maybe Jason can rap it, and Katrina could do a portion of it as spoken art. That's from Akko720.
Mm.
I think that's a great idea.
We are actually planning on hosting an event in our hometown, highlighting and showcasing these gifts and talents that different people have. Like, for example, Katrina could do some poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Jason could do some rapping.
Right. Jared.
Jared could do his music. Maybe Elena would do the dance. It's just some really, really cool gifts and talents that people can use out of the conventional to witness and to
glorify God.
Glory to God, yes.
Absolutely.
So that's in the works.
And for those of you who are out of the state of New Jersey, or not nearby to us, we will be videotaping that and putting it on YouTube. That way you can still see it.
So you could be a part of it, too.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a good event. Really great. Fun.
Really cool.
I actually saw Katrina the other day at Whole Foods.
Oh, did you?
She was calling me, and I kept looking at her. And
like from her car or on the phone?
I was in the parking lot. And she was in the parking lot.
Okay.
And we were walking to our cars, and I heard someone calling me.
Right.
And I thought it was somebody else, and I saw this woman, and I was like, oh, that, she's not talking to me. And she's literally looking at me and talking to me. And I thought she was on a phone on her ear.
Right.
Like how people are like,
oh, talking. So you thought she was talking, but not to you.
She was talking to somebody else on the phone. Because she had these big, big dark glasses on, and her hair was different. And I'm not used to seeing her in that venue. And I'm like, are you talking to me? And she's like, what, you forgot me already?
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, so she took the glasses off. And I was like, oh, Katrina.
Katrina's a celebrity.
I'm like, you look like a celebrity. No, I didn't recognize you.
Did you ask for a photograph?
No.
Oh, well. Speaking about Katrina, here's one from Data12 called Faked Me Out. I never thought the knocking at the door was going to be Frank. As a matter of fact, she's talking about the podcast with Katrina and you.
What?
I never thought the knocking at the door was going to be Frank. As a matter of fact, for a second, I believed he was an actual surprise guest, but as soon as he laughed, I knew immediately it was him. Frank is too much. I loved DJ Fuzzy F.
But I don't think I could handle an entire podcast with him.
Well, we could have left it at I love DJ Fuzzy F.
Well, I would agree with that. With that sentiment there.
That was fun reading that poem. Barking by Leo776. This is funny because when I read this, when I first heard the podcast of you and Katrina, I kept hearing that dog barking. I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do about that dog barking. Just leave it alone. And I had the thought, I wonder if someone's going to hear that, if they're going to pick up on that. So here's this. Barking by Leo776. I stopped the Godcast about a dozen times and went outside to find out whose dog was barking when I realized it was on the recording. When I finally realized it, I was absolutely hysterical, laughing for a half an hour. So funny. Katrina was great. A great guest.
Yes.
This next one is from Robin676. It's called, Was Broken Up About Being Broken Up. Listen to this. My now ex-boyfriend moved in with me 2 years ago, and he said just last Saturday that he's leaving the next day. I put up such a fight about him not wanting to go and not even giving me a reason, although I really knew why. He didn't want to be tied down, quote-unquote. He wants to just spend his time drinking and hanging with his friends. I was going to go to his best friend's house, where he's now staying, to talk to him the next day, and heard the podcast with Katrina. She read a poem, and it talked about letting a man go from my life. I could not believe my ears. I felt like it was the Lord talking to me because I was so broken up about it. Thanks to the Lord for that poem and for Katrina and Christina. I wound up going to my sister's apartment and had her hear this podcast, and it really got me through. Thank you, girls. I love you.
Oh, we love you, too. We knew that that night we were speaking to specific people.
Mm-hmm.
And Katrina knew that the poems were going to touch a wide range of people out there. And she, you know, she chose the ones that she was going to do right then and there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was only, that was totally the Holy Spirit. And God knew exactly what you needed to hear. And He loves you so much. And I'm glad that we could be the vessel for that, Robin.
Hmm. That,
I
that
think
is
there's
cool.
other people out there, too. So
oh, yeah, I'm sure of it.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay, question for the Q&A by Ace565.
Mm-hmm.
Why do so many Christians attribute death, sickness, and poverty to God, and then, in the very same sentence, say how much they love Him? I can't stand that. I would like to know what I'm missing here. Is there some truth to this?
Okay, first of all, I'm going to say flat out, there's no truth to that at all. God does not cause death, poverty,
sickness,
and all that. And you don't have to take my word for it, because I can read you a scripture from James 1:12. Blessed is the man who is patient under trial and stands up under temptation. For when he has stood the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted from God. For God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil. He himself tempts no one.
Hmm.
But everyone is tempted when he is drawn away, enticed, and baited by his own evil desire, lust, and passions. Then the evil desire, when it has conceived, given birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully matured, brings forth death. Do not be misled, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect, free, large, full gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of all that gives light, in the shining of whom there can be no variation, rising or setting, or shadow cast by his turning as in an eclipse. So that was James 1:12 to 17.
Okay.
To me, that clearly said, God does not give you evil things. He only gives you good things. And that's really, really a simplified, short version of that answer to that question.
Right.
We could do hours on that.
Yeah, really.
I could show you hours and hours of scripture. Aunt Tilly is sick. Oh, it must be the Lord trying to teach us something. Absolutely not. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Why it's promoted? Because the devil wants people to believe that God is a maniac. And one minute he'll heal you, and the next minute he'll put cancer on your somebody you love. That's ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous. Because he wants heaven on earth. When we walk around, we should be bringing the blessing wherever we go. It should be like the Garden of Eden on earth. It says, on earth as it is in heaven. Is there cancer in heaven? No. Is there poverty in heaven? No. Is there depression in heaven? No. So, should we have it on earth?
No.
That's the simple, simple answer to that.
This next question is from Charles, and it's actually to Jason. We got this over email. I listened to Jason's Godcast recently, and I have a question. I would like to ask Jason, how do I start a meeting like you guys do on a weekly basis? How do I start a fellowship meeting like that with like-minded believers? How is it also that you are all in ministry together doing Godcasts and articles and things? I would really like to do something like that. Can you help me? Well, Charles, here's Jason Ballack with your answer.
Well, I think the first answer to that question is pretty obvious. Just pray about it. And I think also as you pray about it, maybe just search out your own heart and get a sense of what it is that you're already looking for. I know for myself, for many years, I was kind of just hoping that one day I'd have a group of kind of like some older guys, older than me, that are a little bit more mature in their walk, more mature in their faith, that could help just sharpen me. I was just hoping for it, but not actively praying for it and believing God for it. But yeah, actively pray for it, actively believe God for it, think about what you're looking for, and then ask God to even show you who to ask to be in the group. And then just walk out in faith and ask some of those guys or girls, whoever kind of group you're making there. And then in the group, again, ask God for his direction, what you guys want to do. Whether you want to worship, you want to read the Bible, you want to pray, all of those, go out and pray for people. Let God's Holy Spirit lead you. And I guess the answer to the other question, Frank has been very motivational for all of us, very encouraging. He's great at encouraging us. You know, he just told us this past year a lot, like, you know, especially last summer, hey, if you guys have anything that's on your heart, anything you want to write about, you want to talk about, just go for it. And I've been thinking about this recently. I think that the devil, there's two things that at least have had tripped me up before. The first one was, oh, who am I? You know, who am I in the body of Christ to say what's on my mind? I'm not a pastor or anything like that. So, you know, who, little old me, who am I? Lie from the enemy. The other one is quite the opposite. It's kind of like the prideful thing. People are going to think of me as arrogant or prideful or cocky if I write this. So I better not. I better be humble, quote unquote. Another lie from the enemy. Anyway, thank you.
Okay, Chris, you had asked me to put a quote from Charles Spurgeon on the website a while ago. Mm-hmm. And it was up there, and it caught somebody's attention. Mm-hmm. Salam Hal has this to say. I'm a fairly new Christian, and I love your ministry and the Godcasts. I saw on the website a quote from Charles Spurgeon on your homepage. On the Q&A, can you answer who he is, please? Thank you.
Okay, Charles Spurgeon. I can't really remember how I found him. I might have seen a quote or a commentary by him, then followed that up to see who he was.
Right.
He was a preacher in England. He was a preacher for most of the second half of the 19th century. So he lived from 1834 to 1892. He was 20 years old when he became a pastor in London. And I just like his writings and his commentaries because he really gets how much the blood means. He gets how much Jesus loves us. His message is not a condemning message. It's a message of love and redemption and victory. Mm. And I just gravitated to his commentaries and his writing,
style of writing, yeah.
His sermons and right. So on. You can go to Spurgeon.org, Spurgeon, and you can get a lot of information about him. You can get his sermons on there, his writings, a little bit of a bio about him. So if you're interested in that, that's a good reference, Spurgeon.org.
But it's just Spurgeon.org, though,
yeah, the
right?
Website is Spurgeon.org.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it for this segment of the Godcast Q&A.
Well, on May 2nd, I don't know if our listeners are aware, but it's the National Day of Prayer. And on May 2nd, we're going to be doing something a little different here in New Jersey. And we really would love to link arms with anybody who would be interested throughout New Jersey in coming together with us as well as other people in other counties in
right.
New Jersey. How can people get some information?
Well, if you go to ahistorywithgod.com, you'll see there a banner for the National Day of Prayer. A History with God Ministries has actually just been made the official facilitator of Mercer County.
Ooh.
So if you live in Mercer County or have friends in Mercer County, what we're doing is at noon on Thursday, May 2nd, 2013, we are going to be meeting on the steps of the State House in the city of Trenton.
Mm-hmm. Which is the capital of New Jersey.
At 12 noon.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like to join us, go to the website. It's free. Click on contact and you could just fill out the form there and and click the check box, you know, check the box that says, yes, I will be joining you at the State House. And then that way we can greet you and say hello.
Oh, that would be cool if we can meet some people.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So if you guys are near,
on a wonderful day to pray for the nation.
If you guys are near there, then absolutely. Now, here's the twist. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the National Day of Prayer. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You're sitting in a room, you're hearing somebody talk about the Lord, about the Word, and that's all great.
It is great.
But you know what? We want to take that up a notch.
Okay.
Instead of the National Day of Prayer, Mercer County is doing the National Day of Witnessing.
Ooh, evangelism.
So, yeah. So when we're on the steps of the State House, we're going to be witnessing and ministering to Trenton residents, people who work in Trenton, right? And, you know, because there's no church growth without people getting saved. There's not. Talked about this a little bit in the podcast just now. We need to make disciples.
Right.
So that only happens when people get saved.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. We are going to be showing people how to witness, showing people how to minister. Come one, come all. It's going to be a great time if you can make it. 12 noon, State House steps.
I dare to even say this. I'll prophesy this. People are going to get healed.
Oh, amen.
I mean, the word says signs and wonders will follow.
Right.
And I know you're out there saying, I want to see these signs and wonders. Jesus said it himself. The works that I do, you will do also.
Amen.
Even greater.
Amen.
Well, today's the day.
Yeah.
Today
absolutely.
Is the day. Stop waiting for it. Let's just do it.
Let's just do it.
Let's just do it.
Today's the day to make that decision. And May 2nd is the day to put it into action. So, again, there's also a flyer up there you can download. You can also download the flyer that's up there, print it up, and bring it to work. Put it on your bulletin boards at work. Hand it out to your friends.
Or bring it to your church, or bring it to your small group. Or
absolutely.
Bring it to wherever you fellowship, your campus, or your...
Yep. It's all good stuff. And if you're not in New Jersey, go to National Day of Prayer. Go to their website. Again, that website is on our website. You can just link right to it. And look for your state and see where they're meeting and join up with them.
I have a question. If the person lives in New Jersey but they don't live close to Trenton, what should they do? And they don't want to come all the way to Trenton.
Again, there's a link on the website
okay.
for the state of New Jersey.
Okay.
And they could just
so this
read
is
the
for,
information.
For Mercer County.
Yeah, this special invite that we're making is for Mercer County.
So if you're near Trenton
right.
or even
Ewing.
If you're over the river like 5 minutes away
yeah.
in Morrisville or Yardley or Fairless Hills or any of those places.
Washington's
you
Crossing.
You are much, much welcome to join us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's
so come on, come on.
It's going to be a fun day.
It's a lot of fun. And it's all official too. So
yes.
It's good stuff. Okay.
Oh, and if you do come, please let's somehow hook up. Like I'd love to actually see some people face to face and
yeah,
shake
seek
hands
us out.
And I'm going to be wearing a big flower on my head.
Oh my goodness.
No, I'm not.
Well, I'm certainly not going to be wearing a flower on my head. But you know what we look like, so seek us out. We don't know what you guys look like. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, until next week.
Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8 verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.